consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, light workers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business. Enjoy this light language activation as we begin to magnetize and monetize. Welcome, my loves. So excited for you to be here. Before we get into our episode, I want to make sure that you don't miss out on this amazing, fun opportunity. I am going to be facilitating a 5-day challenge called 5-Day Self-Promotion Challenge. That's right. I am going to show you how to soulfully promote yourself and leverage social media so that you can really get not just your message, but attract your soulmate clients and monetize on your calling. This will be happening September 21st to the 25th. So join me at www.7figureconfidence.com/challenge. That will be also in the show notes. So my loves, ever wonder what really sets someone apart from good to great to outstanding? Have you ever considered being a speaker, even a TEDx speaker? Or you are a speaker and you want to improve on your speaking skills and your presence? Are you wondering how to build a tribe, a global tribe of loyal members? And how do you bring a big vision and turn it into a global reality? Well, my loves, today you are in luck. You are about to hear from my special guest, my very own speaking mentor and friend, Corey Poirier, who is a multi-time TEDx speaker and coach and a very sought-after keynote speaker. He has spoken on Mo Mondays and PMX stages. He's shared the bill with everyone from John C. Maxwell to Deepak Chopra to Stephen Covey to General Hillier, and has presented to hundreds of thousands of attendees since he began his speaking journey. I know your ears are perked up. He is also the host of the top-rated Conversations with Passion radio show, For the Love of Speaking show, and the founder of the speaking program. He has been featured in multiple television specials, and he has been featured in CBS, CTV, NBC, ABC, and is one of the few leaders featured twice on a popular Entrepreneurs on Fire show. Hello, we are really in for a treat. He's also a columnist with Entrepreneur and Forbes. He has also interviewed over 4,000 of the world's top leaders. Corey has also launched a new branded platform, which I am so proud to be part of, called Blue Talks, which stands for Business, Life, and Universe. And today you're going to learn even more about Corey and Blue Talks and how to take your business to the next level through activating your voice. Hi, Corey. Welcome, love.
Hey, Roz. Super stoked to be here. I'm really excited.
I'm really excited too. Corey, we should share how we met. Corey's also a fellow Canadian, and you are all the way across from me. I'm on the west side of Canada, and you are on the east coast. So yeah, it's been a really cool way and how we met. And how long ago was that, Corey? I think it was about let's say about 3 years ago, I think, maybe even 3.5 years ago that we met. And it was through one of my clients in one of my coaching programs. And it turns out that she was a roommate, or she was a friend of your roommate. Is that correct? When you were living here in Edmonton?
No. So you had it right the first time. She was a roommate with a friend of mine that I went to school with, and my mother was really good friends with that friend's parents. So we knew each other really well, and she still lives in the West Coast, and the person you're talking about lived with her for, I think, about 2 years. So yeah, it was a roommate of a good friend.
Okay, well, and I remember Jessica is our mutual connection, and I remember Jessica answering my Facebook status, which was I was looking for some speaking opportunities or networking opportunities as I was going out east to the Toronto area. And Jessica said, you need to meet my friend Corey Poirier. So Corey and I got on a Zoom call, and you guys will really feel Corey's essence as he speaks more. This guy is so humble. Like, I'm reading his bio and I'm just like, wow, like, you were so humble, Corey. And just really down to earth. You absolutely embraced the East Coast vibe and East Coast Canadian vibe. And yeah, we have been great friends since. And Corey has really believed in me. And I'm so grateful for all the opportunities he's provided me. And I'm honored for you to be here, Corey. So
awesome. Corey, well, I have to say, I'm blushing right now, the same color of my red journal that I write in, because
you're so humble. I love it. I would love for you to share with the audience, what is your story? How did you become who you are today and be doing what you do?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to give everybody the Reader's Digest version, because it could be obviously like all of us, our lives. I mean, they become long stories when you're trying to share them with somebody else who maybe hasn't lived them alongside you in the journey. So if I gave you the high level stuff, Roz, it basically goes from, I grew up in a small town, raised by a single mother. I always add that because it was a really big part of my early life. We struggled financially for quite some time. And then we had, you know, some decent times because she got together with a boyfriend, and together, you know, financially, it was a little better for us as a family. And because of that upbringing, though, I didn't have money set aside to go to college or university or anything like that. We just didn't have any spare money. But I still ended up going to college, borrowed, you know, obviously student loans, that type of thing. And I went to college in Prince Edward Island, where I grew up. I went to an entrepreneurial government type college program as well. And so I did go to college, sort of paid it at government money, and then had to pay it back on my own dime. And that's a big part of me being raised by a single mother. But I actually am happy that that was my beginnings. Like, I'm happy that I had to do that on my own, because it was a great lesson in life, but also, I wouldn't change a thing about my mother and how our life started, because I believe if anything changed back then, it would change who I am today. And so my backstory, when you talk about, you know, how did I get started and everything, I really feel that's all a big part of it, growing up in the small town, raised by a single mother. And then what happened was, when I was still in the same small place, I started a newspaper, a business publication, similar to Success Magazine, where I profiled basically entrepreneurs of all types and shared their stories. And I kind of get obsessed by interviewing them. But at some point I realized if I stayed doing that, I would be typecast, and it might be, you know, the only sort of big achievement that I might have as far as that goes. So I moved across the country to close to where you are based, actually same city. And I took the position ultimately with a Fortune 500 company, worked there for 5 years, learned about sales, learned about business. And then once September 11th happened, my mother convinced me as an only child to move back home. I moved back closer to home, and then basically continued my journey in sales until I discovered stand-up comedy, which I often joke is how I get tricked into speaking on stages. And then I launched my speaking career, relaunched a similar newspaper to the one I mentioned I had early on, ran that for about 6 years, turned that into a podcast. And then kind of the rest, as they say, is history, because the speaking And then interviewing people is sort of what became my MO or what I became obsessed with. And then somewhere in between all of that, which ties into what you're talking about on the speaking side, is people, enough people came to me saying, how are you getting paid to speak so often? And so I started teaching it. And I launched a speaking program and then a TEDx style program or a branded talk program. And then finally, Blue Talks, which is what you mentioned off the top. So I know that was like probably, what, 2 minutes, but that was the long version condensed.
I love all those highlights. And actually, the one highlight I really want to zoom in on is podcasts. And then we're going to zoom out and then go back to the other points. But you, I know that when I was just starting this podcast, you had been so generous to give me some support and advice, because you've been one of the very first people to put out a podcast when podcasting wasn't a thing yet. So can you share a little bit about how that went for you and just some of the lessons and advice you would give those who are thinking about speaking and podcasting?
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, to kind of build on what you just said, I started my first, I'm going to call it a podcast, but then I'll explain what I mean by this, which talks about how it was different sort of back then. I started that about almost, I think it's approaching 10 years now. And so wow. I know people that started podcasting like 16, 17 years ago. So, you know, of course, to them, I'd be a newbie. But to 90% or more of the podcasting world, I think I'd be more on the, I guess, closer to the pioneer side. Not to put myself in that category of being a pioneer, but just in the sense that it was definitely when a lot less people were doing podcasting. And so when I say it was that early, and I sort of call it podcasting, I actually started on a platform that was more like online radio.
And oh, like this one.
Time, yeah, exactly. And at the time, whenever podcasting was sort of, at that time, podcasting was still kind of the, what do they call that? The redheaded child. I always hate that term, but it kind of like the person that doesn't seem to belong, you know, it seems like, okay, what, you know, one of these things doesn't seem like it normally fits. And, yes. And podcasting was like that. So I actually embraced the idea of calling it online radio because we were at the time able to be in cars through a couple of the platforms. So I could actually say, well, we're on radio. We're just, you know, we're not on like your, whatever they call it, traditional terrestrial radio. And so I really didn't embrace the podcasting term early on, admittedly. But once I discovered iTunes and the power of iTunes to broadcast your message, I quickly embraced podcasting and ultimately switched from that online platform and went across a whole bunch of different platforms. And so, yeah, early on for me, it was like online radio and then podcasting. But it's been, like I say, now close to 10 years. And, you know, some of the things I learned in this world, in this space, is that, A, there's no, in my opinion, full written rules that you have to follow. There's guidelines that, you know, if you do this, you're probably going to have a better odds of success. But there's no written rules, meaning when I started, I had 30 sponsors in my first month. Mm. And people like, well, you can't do that. That's not the way to do it. And I'm like, well, who says? Am I supposed to give my sponsors their money back? What do you mean I'm not allowed to do this? Like, where are these rules written that nobody showed me? And so I was kind of carving out my own path. And there's a guy named John Lee Dumas, who a lot of podcast fans will know of. And John started about 6 months, I believe, after me, maybe even a little longer after me. And I was on his show and I told him what I was doing. He said, Corey, that's awesome. You know, you're carving a new path. Like the way I was selling sponsor spots. I mean, I could go into that, but it was very unique from what people are doing. And so John had a whole different model. And because he became a real big name podcaster really quickly, everybody's like, Corey, you can't do that. That's not the John Lee Dumas approach. And so here I'm talking to John. He goes, cool, that's so fresh what you're doing. It's so unique. And so the guy who was doing it is telling me, here, you got my seal of approval. And yet people that were following his stuff said, well, you can't take on sponsors as soon. You're just starting. And so that's how new it was, Roz, is that people were telling me what I was doing was wrong, simply because they only knew of one way and it was so new that they thought it was the only way. So yeah, I started really early on, and last thing I'll say about the early on days is we actually had almost like a variety show where we would bring on like 7 guests, then we'd have like a musical guest, then we'd have a comedian, and then we'd have John Dunsworth, who is Mr. Leahy on the famous show Trailer Park Boys, We'd have a skit from John because he had two CDs out and he gave me permission to air his stories. So we'd run his stories, and this was all in one episode. So it was
That sounds like so much fun.
It was pretty intense, and people can still hear those older episodes. And I mean, it would be not abnormal from one show if they have Shailene Johnson, who people may know from Turbo Jam fame. It wouldn't be abnormal for me to have Shailene Johnson on the show, John Gray, who wrote Men Are From Mars, and Jack Canfield on one episode. It was just like, it was insane, but it was so much work. Like, it was so much work, we could only do an episode every 2 weeks, which wasn't consistent enough. And so ultimately I realized it didn't make sense. I was paying a producer and, you know, I had to send him all the stuff. I mean, it was taking hours and hours and hours of my time just to help him get the show ready by answering questions and helping him figure out where I wanted stuff. It was just like, it was too big for the fact that it wasn't like a national show. We had sponsors, but there's a point where you kind of go, this is too big now. And yeah, so I was definitely early on, and times have sure changed since then for me.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. So I know that we could dive in deeper about podcasting, but I certainly want to, after we come back from commercial, head into speaking about how you got started with TEDx and then how you helped other people, and you still do, get TEDx speaking gigs. So let's head into commercial. When we come back, we'll head right into that.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
When you wake up in the morning, are you excited for the new day? Are you passionate about your work? Are your relationships fulfilling? And finally, are you happy? I'm Mia Voce, your host and guide to the power of five. Harness the forces of the universe and unleash your powers within. Join me each Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Om Times Radio. And remember, anything is possible. You only just have to believe.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact. Without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, my love. So we are going to dive in with Corey about how he got started on the TEDx stage. Corey, I'm really curious, like, what, how did this even come about that you decided, hey, I'm going to do a TEDx talk?
So great question. And I will say, much like we talked about podcasting and how I might have been a little bit early in on it, I have to say, similar type thing with the whole TEDx talks. I mean, I wasn't early in on it, like, let's say, people that were at the first main TED event years and years ago. But I was early in on it in terms of when it was just starting to build that big, big, big momentum splash. Like, whenever I did it, a lot of people are still going, you did what? When I told them I did it. Whereas now 90% of the people say, oh, yeah, TED Talk. I know what you mean. And so the first one I did, how I got in, which is kind of a lesson, I think, for people, too, about the importance of taking action in relation to manifesting stuff and not just putting it on a vision board. So what happened was I heard about it, TEDx, and somebody said, you need to do a TED talk. And I was like, okay, well, let's just check out some of these. And I reached out to one specific event, and they were, at the time, they were full. They said, you know, we don't have any room for another speaker. And I said, you know, it's all good, but can I still send my talk along perhaps for next year or whatever, like send a pitch along. And so they said, sure. And they said, just as long as you know that we're full for this time. I said, oh, yeah, 100%. You know, you can't hurt to at least have it in case. Anyway, about a week later, I believe it was roughly, they reached out to me. It was like, I mean, it was at this point, I think it was like 3 weeks before the event, maybe less. And they said, look, we had one person cancel. And when we looked at the list of speakers, your talk would fit in the best with the rest of the speakers. And we really liked the approach of your talk. Would you be willing to jump in? And so that was one of the first things that happened. And then another thing, not to get anybody in trouble, because I don't know what the rules were back then, but they also offered to pay for my travel to get there, which I don't think they're allowed to do, or at least anymore. And the one that did it, they're not even running anymore. So I don't know if they were breaking any rules by doing that or not.
Look at you manifesting. Amazing.
Yeah, so they manifested it so much so they even sent me money. But it was like it was a drive trip. So they basically said, we'll pay for your kilometers. And maybe they did that back then. I have no idea for sure. But what happened was I had about 3 weeks to prepare, which is obviously not a lot of time, but I've been speaking for obviously a long time at that point. And so, yeah, so I essentially had to put together a talk that I hadn't delivered anywhere else in that way that I had pitched to them as, you know, and I told them and I pitched it. I hadn't delivered anywhere, but I've been speaking a long time. And so what happened was because that spot opened up, I took it and I prepared and I drove in the night before and even was preparing in my hotel room the night before, even thinking about what I wanted to wear. I spent like more time than I ever would on that because I knew it was going to be captured and could be out yes. there for a long time. And yeah, so then I got there and it was essentially like every other TEDx that I've been to since in a lot of ways. You know, this one was an auditorium. I want to say there's maybe 200 people there. It was one of the first events I ever went to where they encourage you to leave your phone on and tweet and message and stuff and not turn your phone off. They just asked us to turn the ringers off. And then I sat there anxiously awaiting my turn. The person before me, if I recall correctly, spoke about horse whispering, you know, whispering to horses. And the person after me, I'm trying to remember what he spoke on, but it was so unique. Like, I just thought, what a unique environment where I was speaking on how to trim out the weeds of your life, the things that aren't serving you. And again, I was right after somebody talking about how to whisper to horses and the healing power of horses. Oh, and the person right after me, I think, was the one that talked about building artificial limbs with 3D printing. But this was, of course, quite a long time ago. And so it was just, I was like, what a cool environment. And that was my first exposure to TED. And to be honest, at that point, I probably only watched, if I did watch 5 talks, I'd be surprised. So it was, for me, it was that new. And yeah, and I delivered the talk and I was thankful that, you know, because it was an environment where there was a lot of light. It was really warm. I was like, oh, don't let me be sweating because this is filmed. They're going to be around forever. And I escaped that part. And the talk went over well. You know, TEDx, they typically don't edit anything. So I was happy with the result, even without any editing. And yeah, it went over as well as I thought it would. I'm a highly passionate, talkative person, as people can tell. And I was able to reel that in a little bit. Like, it really flowed and went as well as it possibly could have, because I was desperately nervous. Not as nervous as I found a lot of other speakers were there and since, but I was desperately nervous compared to some of my other stages. But it all went off sort of without a hitch. And then after that, you know, people started telling me, you know, I love your TEDx talk and I love the idea of pulling out your weeds and all that kind of stuff. And it just sort of, you know, took a little bit of a life on its own, but that's what kind of pulled me into the TEDx universe.
Oh my gosh, that's such a cool story. You actually answered my question, which was going to be, were you nervous given that you were a professional speaker, you've been speaking for a long time, and the answer is yes. And I assume that's because it was a new environment, it's a new audience, and it's TEDx, like it's gonna be captured forever on camera. Were there any other reasons that you were nervous about?
You know, I was... I feel like I was just nervous because you can do a talk somewhere and media, for whatever reason, show up to do something about the event and capture your talk and, you know, and talk about, you know, all the things you did. And maybe you had you did something wrong and that's now shared publicly. All that stuff could happen. So, you know, in the back of your mind when you're speaking, that's always possible. But when you're doing a TEDx talk, you know, it's going to be out there for sure. So it's the first time. I had done stuff where it was filmed for TV in terms of me speaking on like Shaw or Eastlink or, you know, cable network. I'd done that stuff and prepared for it. I knew that was going to be aired. And I had a bad experience with one of those where I still have it somewhere where I had, it was like middle of July. I foolishly wore a big thick suit and I shouldn't say suit. I mean a big blazer, but then, you know, I was just, and I used to have a lot of hair back then. I will say when I shaved my head, I still had hair. So it's not like I'm saying I lost it all and shaved it, but I had a thick head of hair. And so I have it, and I'm going to post it soon to say, you know, that it doesn't always go as planned, but I mean, you can see me visibly sweating the whole set time. And it was on air for 45 minutes or more. And you get concerned about, is that ever going to happen again? And so I think the nervousness was just knowing this can be out there for life. And if it's a great talk, even if that stuff happens, you still want it to be out there for life. But knowing it's out there, you're always kind of, if you watch it, you know, just somebody says, can you check out this part? Or what did you say at this point? You have to go watch it again. It's just like you're cringing. So I want to put that back up. Thankfully, that one only aired for a month, and it aired like 15 times a day for a month. People coming into town and they'd be sharing the bill with me and say, oh, I was at the hotel last night and I watched you on Eastlink TV, watched your whole talk. And thankfully, none of them were saying you were covered in sweat, but I know they knew I was. And of course, here's the part, Roslyn, is it people think immediately it's a nervousness thing. But I mean, I'm one of those people, dark complected. And if it's July and you don't have good air conditioning on in the building, I'm probably going to be sweating. And that's just human nature. But when you're watching that's not how you view it. You view it as, oh, that guy was terrified. And so, yeah. So, I mean, I guess I was nervous about that possibly happening with the TEDx. And I'll do a knock on wood because all three of them, that didn't happen ever. So I got lucky. Awesome.
Wow, that was a good story. I'm just picturing you with hair, like a thick, full head of hair and like a big blazer sweating. That's actually really hard for me to picture. Only because I know you the way you are now and you're just very calm about everything. You guys, seriously, when we were speaking at Harvard, so Corey is my mentor who got me on Blue Talks to speak at Harvard University. And Corey, there are opportunities, there's future opportunities for this too, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're always looking for great speakers. We're always looking to run that next. And I'll say there's two different tiers of opportunities to be involved with Blue Talks. One is for those people that want to be on a stage, want to be speaking. As you know, Roslyn, those ones, there's not as many of them because it's limited to the amount of venues and spaces we can rent. And right now, the challenge, of course, with COVID is there's certain events we can run and certain ones we can't right yet. And so we've had to move like our next Harvard event and our Columbia event because of that. And so there are some variables, but we're always looking for good speakers. And there's always that chance that a spot's going to open up. But right now, as it stands, we're full, I think, till the fall of next year as far as live speaking. But now, having said that, I mean, we'll be probably planning the live fall event soon. So we'll be looking for people again soon. But yeah, there's always opportunities that way in the live speaking with Blue Talks. But then the whole separate tier of being involved is we have the book series, which what we do is anybody that's in the Blue Talks community thus far, as of right now, as I say this, they essentially, if they're in for the book series or they're in for the live event, they also get in for a feature spot on the podcast. And they also get in for a our virtual event spot. And you've already been a part of two of our virtual events, just to back that up. And so there is definitely still opportunities with Blue Talks for people to come into the community and for us to help them amplify their message. And as you know, we're always looking for other opportunities that we can promote them. Like we do live interviews typically weekly. We've been doing them for a while now inside our channels. So we'll pick different Blue Talk speakers. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we took a break for a couple of weeks now because the virtual event's coming up, but usually two people a week we're profiling. And then we have a Blue Talks Flip Your Script Friday, which is managed by my co-host, Elise. And so she brings on Blue Talks speakers. So we're always looking for ways to highlight people that are in the Blue Talks community. And there's always opportunities. I'm just being that full disclosure guy that says the live events are a little bit more scarce because of everything going on.
Yes, yes. And we're actually going to come back to that because I know everybody's probably like, okay, where's my pen? I want to like, what is Blue Talks? I need to know more about this. So what I wanted to say though was like back to my point about being at Harvard and like, this is a live event. It's like TEDx in terms of there's a stage, there's an audience, there's like the cameras on you and this is going to be captured. It's a branded platform and Blue Talks being Business Life Universe, that's what it stands for. And Corey was like, you were so freaking chill. And I remember saying to you, Corey, I'm like, you need to be a supplement. You need to like Like, you were so chill, given that just there was a lot going on. And that's one thing I really love about you, is just how grounded you are, despite just the busyness of everything that's been the setup and the management of all of that. And so while we're talking about Blue Talks, let's talk about how it is that Blue Talks was birthed. Tell us more about the mission of Blue Talks, because I want this out in the world. Like, I know you do, and I just fully believe in your mission. Anything that you're doing, I'm like, yep, I'm in. And it's really easy, you guys. Like, I've invited so many people into your community, Corey, because I believe in your mission that much. I love you, and I love what you're putting out there in the world. It's very high vibrational. So please tell us your story around Blue Talks and what it is.
Yeah, I'm happy to. And yeah, and you've been such a great, as you just said, but it's true, you've been such a great supporter of the brand, so I appreciate that as well. And, you know, I have to say, I'll go on the easy way to explain it, and then I'll go back a second and unpack a little bit more than that. But the easy way to explain it, in terms of what the goal is around Blue Talks for me, it's that I want to help amplify people's messages and get them out to the world. So, you know, one person's trying to help people understand how it's okay to be comfortable with money and making money and whatever. And that might be Rosalind's message. And then we might have somebody else's message, like, for example, Tasia Valenza, who's mm-hmm. a part of our group, who's an Emmy winner. And Tasia is a voiceover artist, and she just wants people to she wants to basically bring back the sexiness of us using our voice. So she wants people to pick up the phone and still make calls to people and even maybe be on Zoom. But basically, she's trying to give great voice, she calls it. She wants to help people give their voice and not just be doing everything digitally. And so I want to help her get that message out to the world. And so it could be, you know, as long as it's a message that's, in my opinion, noble and giving, and it's a message that has value, I want to help people amplify that message. And so Blue Talks became the platform for amplifying those messages. Now, that's the easy way to explain it. Now, to circle back a step, essentially how it started was with us having the speaking program and the TEDx program, we had students who wanted stages. And so I had students that kept coming to me saying, I wish you had a done for you type service where I could just walk on the stage and you guys create the rest. And so that's kind of where it first started. And then at the very same time as that was happening, people were saying, I wish, or they said, like, students would say, I'd love to speak at a TEDx event, but I understand that they're not as big on the spirituality side and the, we'll call it maybe new age or woo-woo, whatever word we want to put on that. They're not as big on that. And so can you tell me another platform where I could speak on that? And I wanted to give them an answer, but I couldn't think of one. You know, I could think of a few like Mind Valley and Goldcast where they were doing that type of stuff, but they weren't traveling. Like, they weren't bringing the events to a lot of different places. So similar to what TEDx was doing, I couldn't think of another one that was doing that, but had the spirituality component. And so Zig Ziglar has often said that if I have a message that somebody desperately needs to hear, it's my moral obligation to get that message to them. And so the way I viewed it was people need to hear these messages on that type of platform, and it doesn't exist. So I guess it's my moral obligation to create it. And that was kind of the early on of how Blue Talks started coming to life. And then the blue, as you mentioned earlier, stands for business life universe. The universe is, of course, the synchronicity side that helped create it all, the catalyst. But really, I wanted it to be a brand where people could come on a stage and not just speak about woo-woo, but also not just speak about business. And so I felt I wanted to immerse everything. And to me, business life universe covers a lot of ground, but it allows a lot of different speakers to be sharing their message, or authors to be sharing their message in the same platform. And so that's kind of how the blue part came in. And then, of course, but that allowed us to have a color theme built around it, which clearly would be blue. And so that was kind of how that came together. And then the kind of final part to this is that when we finally decided, let's start launching this, which was almost a year before the official launch, we filmed our three events. We did the interviews for the podcast, some of them. We were building it. And then ultimately I was like, oh, maybe the book, you know, a book series, because I love books. I love compilation books. So I was like, okay, maybe we can add that in. So this doesn't just become a brand of just live events and speaking videos, which I'm glad I did, because COVID then decided to rear its head after that. But having said all that, the last part of this was I had Elise Rothman, who I mentioned about being a co-host with me on the Blue Talk Flip Your Script. And Elise came to me and she had just, this was now after COVID was sort of announced and the live event thing was starting to fall apart for a lot of people. And she said, you know, I was part of the Pete Vargas Rise Up Challenge, this really massive launch. And I loved it. And I kind of thought, I wish I had a way to do that, but I know I don't have any kind of community or platform to launch that. And then she said, but then I thought, wait a minute, I'm part of this Blue Talks community. And so she said, what if we were to create a virtual event and a virtual stage? And so that's how the last, you know, current component came together is we said, why don't we? And we did it really quick. Like we had about 10 days to pull that one together. And we launched what was called Blue Talks Flip Your Script. And it was a virtual event where you were part of, Roslyn. And we had, I think, 10 Blue Talks speakers and 5 special guests, including Mark Victor Hansen, which people would know from Chicken Soup for the Soul, one of the co-creators. And then because that went over well, and because obviously I realized with Blue Talks, I want to give them stages, I want to give them a writing platform, and I want to give them a podcasting platform. And I said, well, maybe I need to help people that want to do that. They want to get their message out more. So then we launched a thing called Blue Talks Amplify Your Message, which was kind of the second virtual event, but a separate signature event. And you were part of that one as well. And then now, coming this month, I mean, September, as I say this, next week we have the next Blue Talks Flip Your Script. And at the end of the month, we have the next Amplify Your Message. So they became, which is going to be probably every 2 months, they became virtual stages that got added into the mix so that now Blue Talks is the podcast, the book series, the live events, the virtual events. And then, of course, as I mentioned, us doing a lot of basically video interviews like Facebook Live type stuff as well. So that's kind of, I guess we'll call that maybe a 10-minute or less roundabout way of explaining where Blue Talks is thus far, but really it was a matter of helping people amplify their message and giving people a platform so that they could share really almost any message they want to share.
Oh, I love all of that, Corey. When we come back, we're actually going to dive in a little deeper about how exactly people can learn and get into the community of Blue Talks, and also the mindset of being able to take big, aligned, soul-driven action.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, my loves. So I am going to dive in deeper. As you see, Corey is just such a heart-driven man who is here to really serve, and he really shows up in that energy. So Corey, I would love to talk about your book of Why. It's such a powerful book. I mean, even my brother, who is not into personal development, listened to this book. So it's a big deal. And I feel like your book answers and help support people to go from taking their life from mediocre to good to great to being outstanding. You have interviewed thousands of high-level entrepreneurs, including Les Brown, Lisa Nichols, which, by the way, you guys, Corey has video proof. When he goes out to speak sometimes in his workshop, he has video proof of behind the scenes interviewing Les and another interview with Lisa, with them sharing how Corey is one of the greatest interviewers they've ever had the pleasure of sitting down with. Like, that is so huge, Corey. And you have such a gift for interviewing people. And so I really encourage you guys to get to know Corey, watch his, go and like binge on his podcast, which we'll talk a little bit more about in terms of how you can get connected and all of that in a bit here towards the end of the show. But in the meantime, let's go back to the book of why, Corey. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I'm happy to. People always ask me, tell me why, the book of why. And and so what I'll say is, as far as the book itself, I feel like, and it's a weird way to say it, but I feel like it's the book that wrote me versus the other way around. And the only way I can explain this, Rosalind, is, and I haven't been giving enough or as much attention as I used to my music, that side of my life. But I put out 4 CDs over the years and used to tour and all that kind of stuff. And so I wrote the song. So I only bring that up because I wrote the music for all of the albums. And there's certain songs that I know I wrote. You know, I sat down and I was like, oh, I remember writing that and rhyming it with this and all that kind of stuff. But the vast majority of my songs wrote me. So what I mean is, it's like I feel like it's coming through me versus me sitting there going, okay, what do I do here? What should I do there? And so I feel like this book was like that. You know, other books of mine, I know I wrote them, meaning like I know I labored to write them. But this book just came to life, and it was like almost like it was telling me this word needs to go here. And so the book itself is a nonfiction book, just to clarify for people. It's essentially broken down like this. The first section, which I call act in it, just like 3 acts in a play, the first act or section is actually called why. And essentially what we dive into in that part is, A, how do you find your why, if you haven't already? So how do you find your calling, your purpose, your passion? And then B, the second part, what we follow that up with, is I talk about 4 whys. And I remember when I heard this the first time, the 4 whys, it was Jim Rohn. I heard him deliver this keynote speech. And Jim Rohn, for people that don't know him, he passed away, but he'd be the equivalent of a Zig Ziglar, one of the top motivational speakers of all time. And Jim Rohn said this thing of, he said, why not? Why not me? Why not now? He asked those 4 questions during his talk. Now, I never took 1 ounce of content, if you will, from his talk whatsoever. But I took those 4 headers. And I said, why don't I pose that in the book as if, okay, well, why? You know, so why should you even do this in the first place? Then why not? You know, and then it's basically a reverse psychology. Like, why shouldn't you do this? And then why not you? You know, so why shouldn't it be you? Why bother? Why did Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen create Chicken Soup for the Soul? Why did they just say, nah, why bother doing that? We'll leave somebody else to do it. And so I addressed the fact that it couldn't have been anybody else. They were the 2 people that had to come together to create that. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why. And then the last part is, why not now? You know, so is now the time, or should you just leave it and somebody else will do it, or it'll happen later on when it's meant to? And I make the case that now is the best time ever, and here's why. And, you know, so I dial into real things like the fact that globally we're more connected than we ever have been before. And, you know, social media allows us to do things that we couldn't before. So long story short is that's the first section. It's all dedicated around this whole why concept, but it's not just helping you find your why. It's actually talking about and addressing the fact that it needs to be created by you now. And then the second section or act is thriving, which is basically, you talked about it earlier, it's what have I learned from these high achievers? What are the top 5 things I've learned after these thousands of interviews over the years? And I reveal those. So that's your how you do it. And then, and that's the important part of the book being called The Book of Why and How, is we show you the how, not just why. And then the third act or section is called Enlightened. And this is about... And this is this book is written in the way I woke up to the world. But basically, the third act is about being conscious when you're doing it. You know, so being an enlightened super achiever. I love that Zig Ziglar was that type of person that would not just help you get up to the top of the mountain. When he'd say, I'll see you at the top, he would not just help you get up to the top of the mountain by pulling you up. he would actually get underneath and push you up to the top of the mountain. He did everything he could to make sure you were on the top of the mountain with him. And so he could sleep at night because of how he helped people. And so that third section is to tell you, talk about how we can sleep at night by helping people. But then because it's about enlightenment, it also goes into things like sweat lodges and meditation and yoga and self-care and all that kind of stuff too. So that's kind of the book in a nutshell. And essentially it helps you through those three areas. And like I say, for me, there were three areas. First, I found my why. The second part is I started doing these interviews. I became obsessed with learning the how. And then I realized that I had to do it in a way that I was giving back to others and not just getting myself. So that's the book, Rosalind. And then the last part, which is unique from almost any other book that I've read, and I've read a lot of books, is it has 400 quotes in the back of the book by thought leaders I've interviewed, like direct quotes that they've approved. So you're actually learning. I mean, each one of those quotes, I designed it to pick the quotes that I thought one quote on their own could change a life. And yet there's 400 of them in the bonus section. So that's, I mean, the, you know, big answer about the book of why and how and why it came to life. I really believe it's because it's the book I needed. So it was the book I needed to write at the time.
I can feel all of your essence in that book when I was listening to it. And it is absolutely such a valuable book that is transforming. Thank you so much for laying that out exactly as you did, Corey. Really loved how you didn't say it, but you really like did channel that. I love the value this book gives. It's one big soulgasmic affirmation that's like the readers start to embody. So it's so beautiful. So my loves, what I'm going to deliver right now is a guided meditation with a light language activation to support you as you're listening to this episode, as you're leaning in, as you're getting inspired, as you're getting excited about stepping into your power, about becoming even more powerful in amplifying your voice. Because that is so possible. Like Corey says, why not you, right? It's you. You are here on a soul mission purpose. So those of you who are struggling with imposter syndrome, you're feeling like a fraud. You're feeling like you don't measure up when you compare yourself to others. This meditation will be guided for you. And those of you who are already in a soul mission and you're on track, this meditation is also for you to help you unlock those DNA codes and those soul codes to take yourself to the next level. So I invite you right now just to start to take your attention inward. You can have a soft gaze or close your eyes. And feel into your body right now. Feel into the excitement, the inspiration from this podcast episode, from what Corey and I have been jamming about. Feel into what's really standing out for you in this moment. Notice it in your body. What's the sensation? Is it lightness? Is it tingling? Is it a solidness? Feel into that and breathe into it. Expand this feeling with your breath into other areas of your body. And then breathing out anything that's of resistance, anything that's not serving or supporting you. And then breathing in so that now your energy is expanding even more beyond your physical body boundaries. This is your energy, your self-belief. See yourself standing on stage in front of hundreds who are here to hear your message, who are leaning in to hear your message. They deeply desire it so that they too can be activated. Feel into people reading your chapter in a book or your book. Feel into that. Feel into the possibilities, the impacts, the influence. And then also, of course, the income. That money is coming to you as you are sharing and amplifying your message. It circulates. to you, through you, and around you. It's really breathing this in. See it, feel it, be it. Feel into your purpose. Even if your head's not clear about that, just feel into it. That you are here for deeper reasons, for bigger reasons, beyond what you can see. Koratia, kira koratia, pro koratia, porikira karatua. And surrender to the power greater than yourself. Koratia, kira karatua, pro koratia. Align with love. And as you do that, clear direction is presented to you. Koratia, kira karatua, kira karatua. Opening up your crown chakra, which is at the top of your head, allowing yourself and your guides to support you in your journey. Kuoreti kira karatua kia. Puoreti kira karatua kira karatia. Feel the permission to show up, to stand up, to amplify your message. In speaking, in writing, singing, korati kira kreatua, however that is meant for you, pura kira kreatua. Anchoring, anchoring, anchoring this in. You get to lock this in right now, pura kira kreatua. Breathing in. And then breathing out anything that doesn't serve or support. Breathing in everything that feels so good, because this is your minimal standard. And breathing out your beautiful soul essence into the world, so that those souls who are meant to be part of your tribe come closer. And hanging out with your experience, seeing what words, images, phrase comes up for you to lock this in deeper, because this place is always available to you. Whenever you're feeling lost, come back home here. This gets to be your normal. Beautiful, my love. So when you're ready, just very slowly and gently start to bring yourself back into your environment. Feel the temperature on your face, wiggle your feet, your toes, your fingers. And then when you're ready, just very slowly and gently start to, if your eyes were closed, open them. You may want to have a soft gaze, blink a few times, might be a bit bright, things might look a little bit more vivid, or maybe blurry. All is good, just drink some water. Well, thank you, Corey, so much for bringing your beautiful soul essence to this episode. I know it's brought tons of value, and I know this is also going to pique a lot of curiosity about Blue Talks and how people can get involved to amplify their message as well. You guys, I hope to see stage. I'm speaking in Columbia University next year. I hope to see you there and wherever the other brand Blue Talks are going to be. So Corey, how can people connect with you, please? How can they get to lean in more, know you, be part of your community?
Wow. So first of all, my energy is totally different now than it was earlier, because I obviously followed along as well. So best way to find out more about Blue Talks, it's really easy. Just go to bluetalks.com. Key thing is it's B-L-U, Talks. So leave out the E in blue. But bluetalks.com. And on there, there's the link for the YouTube channel. There's the link for the podcast. And there's also the link for the book series as well. So I feel like that's the best place to find everything about Blue Talks.
Easy peasy then, right? Awesome. And Corey, what are some last words that you would love to close with before we release our show today?
I would simply say, for those of you that haven't discovered your why yet, you know, you don't have to buy my book to do it, but I highly recommend
do it, people.
Do it, 100%.
Corey's being humble, but I'm saying do it.
100%. It'll change everything. Like, there's nothing that I could put more recommendation behind in terms of it changing everything in your life than discovering your why and starting to live on purpose. And what I would add to that is something that we talked or alluded to earlier, is if I look at the most common trait I've learned from the highest of achievers in the world, the number one most common trait by a landslide is that they're living on purpose, which means they discovered their why and they're living their why. So I guess, Rosalind, what I want to leave people with is find your why. And I guess I didn't add this part, but if you want to learn more about the Book of Why, I mean, obviously it's anywhere books are sold, but you can find it at thebookofwhy.com.
Thank you so much, Corey. I really appreciate you and my loves for about the 5-day self-promotion challenge as well. Get your booties in Blue Talks, get your booties in the 5-day challenge. 7figureconfidence.com/challenge. Until next week, we have a wonderful, wonderful activating week. We'll be right back.